My name is Jason Gann. Today we are going to continue our study from the Epistle of Jude, a very short book of the Bible. It only contains one chapter, and I would encourage you that if you have your Bible handy to turn with me to the Epistle of Jude. Jude 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We studied yesterday from 2 Thessalonians 2:14, which tells us that we are called by the gospel. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We learn from 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God speaks to us through the holy and inspired Word, the Gospel, the written Word of God. He tells us in the Holy Bible all things that pertain unto life and godliness, so that we are truly equipped for every good work. And how great that is to know. We learn from the Epistle of Jude 1 that this epistle is to those who are sanctified, those who are saints. A saint is simply a Christian. Any Christian is a saint. We know that from what is said in the Holy Scriptures, Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we learn in verse 13, then Ananias answers, as Jesus has just told him, to go, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You see, Paul had been persecuting the Christians. And at this time, Paul was called Saul. Saul had been persecuting the Christians. And so Ananias says, I know what he's been doing to the saints at Jerusalem. You see, a Christian is called out. A Christian is called out of sin and called out of this world to be different. 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4, verse 4 tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So in other words, whoever submits themselves unto worldly things is someone who is not a friend of God, but rather an enemy of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says that this epistle was written unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, notice, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 16 tells us that God dwells in those who are living according to the Word. And He walks in them, and He is their God, and they are His people. And He says, wherefore come out from among them, from among who? The world. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that's what it means to be a saint. And that means to be a Christian, someone who is following the Lord, someone who is different from the world, truly a peculiar people, unto the Lord. For after all, Jesus did give himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar, a different, a special people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. So the book of Jude, then, is written unto the sanctified, written unto Christians who are preserved in Jesus Christ and called by the gospel. God gives unto Christians special spiritual blessings. He preserves Christians in that way by allowing Christians to have forgiveness of sins and to have fellowship with spiritual brothers and sisters. These are wonderful spiritual blessings, to be able to speak and communicate unto God the Father as His child. Another great spiritual blessing, to have that avenue of prayer in which we know that God hears their prayers. These are wonderful spiritual blessings. So how great it is that God preserves the faithful. He says in verse 2, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Mercy unto you. In other words, compassion unto you. To Christians. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that mercy and peace and love go together here. He says, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Mercy, peace, and love proceeds from God the Father. Jude wants those to whom he is writing to abound in mercy, compassion, and peace, the peace that passes all understanding, which is only from God the Father, and in love. Verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Beloved, when I gave all diligence, in other words, when I put forth much effort to write unto you of the common salvation. In other words, Jude is saying, I wanted to write unto you about the common salvation, but I learned that it was needful for me to write unto you and encourage you, challenge you, that you should earnestly, fervently, with much work, contend, in other words, fight for the faith which was once, and that word once means once and for all, delivered unto the saints. The word faith here has to do with the gospel, the sum of all that which Christians are to obey. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we are told there by the inspired man named Luke, this verse says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So the faith there has to do with the system of faith, the system of salvation. And Jude 3 says that this faith, this system of faith, has once and for all been delivered unto man. In other words, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, as we studied earlier, have been revealed. And where are all things pertaining to life and godliness found? They are found in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to equip man for every good work. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 tells us, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following," talking there about the apostles. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 tells us, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and with wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The purpose of miracles was to reveal unto man what God would have him to know, and to prove, to confirm that this word being preached and taught was from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, we learn there in that context of talking about revelation. Chapter 12 is about revelation, chapter 14 about revelation, and not merely the book of Revelation, although that is included in what I am talking about here. When I am referring to Revelation here, I am referring to all of that which God has revealed unto man, all of what we see in the Bible. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the context then about Revelation, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, that refers to being able to speak in languages that had previously not been studied, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So Paul is saying these miraculous revelatory gifts, these different avenues by which the revelation was able to be known miraculously in the first century, would cease. He says, for we know in part, literally there, we know in parts and we prophesy in parts. So we know through these different miraculous avenues right now in the first century, Paul says, but when that which is perfect, perfect means complete, but when that which is complete is come, then that which is in literally parts shall be done away. So when that which is complete is come, what's he talking about there? He's talking about revelation. When the revelation is completed, then that which is in parts shall be done away. In the first century, Peter says that they have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jude 3 says that the system of faith has once and for all been delivered. That means that everything God wants us to know in order to go to heaven is found in the Holy Scriptures. He does not speak miraculously unto man today. He speaks through His holy and inspired Word. When the apostles, Acts chapter 8, and those upon whom the apostles laid their hands to impart miraculous gifts passed away, then miracles ceased to occur. They had fulfilled their purpose. The revelation had been completely given, and it had been proven to be from God. Please become a Christian by hearing Romans 10:17, believing Mark 16:16, repenting Acts 2:38, confessing Matthew 10:32, and by being baptized Acts 2:38. Live faithfully unto death Revelation 2:10. Thank you for joining us.